We'd like to welcome you to the study session. It's Monday, November 6th, and we are excusing Mayor Hawker, who is in New Zealand with Sister Cities. And as I have repeated several times, he is on his own dime, as he does when he travels with Sister Cities. We appreciate his representing the city, but he always pays for himself, so that's very good of him. We have just a few items on our agenda this evening. We'll start with the review of the items on the agenda for the November 6th regular council meeting, and we'll start on page 1. Is there anything on page 2? I'd like to suggest that we add item number 3 to the consent agenda. I told Gary that he didn't need to be here this evening for that appointment. Is there any concern about adding that to the consent agenda? This is naming an interim city council-appointed city auditor. Okay, then we'll put that onto consent. So Kim, or whoever's reading tonight, if you could get that, thank you. All right. Scott.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I had a question on 3.1. We're going to be promoting some folks, this is the first part of a major reorganization by our city manager, and I've received some phone calls inquiring as to how that's going to affect payroll costs for the administrative level, and wondered if we could address that. Overall, through this reorganization, are we going to see a spike in our administrative payroll costs, or is this neutral or going down?
As a result of this reorganization, we know there at least one executive position in the Parks Department that will be eliminated. So that is significant. There will be additional adjustments for additional responsibilities that will be assigned. Overall, at this time, the best I could say is it probably will be cost neutral at this time because we're not laying off any executives. We're moving around to where I think their appropriate roles could be. And then probably over time, as a result of a lot of the vacancies that we're carrying in the organization today and with upcoming retirements, we'll probably end up with savings.
How is this reorganization benefit? Can you sum that up for me?
How does the whole organization benefit?
How is this reorganization going to be a benefit to the city?
Well, there's a couple of things, as I outlined in my memo to the council, is one, it allows the city to put itself in a position where I think we will be able to put executives at a position where they can be strong general managers. Today, the structure creates categories of management who are only over assigned to financial services, development services, community services, utilities, and they are therefore only assigned departments that fit in those categories. That is not the current organizational structure that you'll find in large cities across the country. That also encourages, I think, a kind of a silo mentality where you become focused only on what's happening in your particular area of interest and assignment. My experience has been that the stronger managers in local government are those who have the experience and the resources from a variety of different experiences, that when they are studying different issues or coming up with solutions, they come with a more holistic approach as opposed to just how will it affect my particular area. So I think that will allow us to expect stronger management at the executive levels. It is also, unlike what it was reported in the newspaper, this is actually the standard of what is used across country. It is not something new and crazy. It is not scrambled eggs. It is the method that we will be able to compare ourselves even better with peer cities and looking at similar positions, because we will be able to relate to assistant city managers, to deputy city managers, and department directors. Today, our department directors, or as I'm calling them, department directors, are titled division heads. Most cities look at division heads as subsets of departments. And so I think this will modernize our job titles and, frankly, will help us as we compare and recruit in the future the labor force that we'll need to run these departments.
Thank you, Councilmember Summers. Anything else on page 2? We have two public hearings for release of annexation papers, and then we're going on to liquor license applications and moving on to page 3. Anything there? Page 4, we're continuing with the liquor license applications. Moving on to page 5, we have contracts. 6A is off the consent agenda. Anything else on that page? Moving to page 6, anything there? Okay, page 7. Councilmember Griswold.
I just had a question on 6I. It said recommended purchase of boiler machinery policy for Hartford steam boiler for a coverage of $50 million with a $10,000 deductible. Cost this is about $11,000. I've done business with Hartford Boiler and Policy for years. They're a good company. They do air conditioners and boilers, et cetera. This is an outstanding rate. I can't believe you got $50 million of coverage for $11,000. Is it a misprint or just a very good negotiations? There's a yes going up on very good negotiations. I need to talk to you afterwards. So. Okay, thank you.
I have a question on that same item, Debbie, because I know how much Debbie really likes talking about these insurance policies. So my question has to do with Alliance Insurance Company, which is the one that was the low bidder and is being recommended for a $200 million coverage per occurrence. I'm not familiar with them. They may be widely well known. Everybody at the table may know them except for me, but it raised the question for me, how do we determine what the financial viability is of the insurance companies that we use?
Vice Mayor, for that, I think I'll ask our broker representative to come up.
Wait. Please come up and get a microphone so we can get you on the right up here. Have a seat, pull up a microphone, and have a chat with all the folks at home who are going to be watching you.
Sorry.
They're tired of the election coverage. They can't wait to hear about insurance.
Woo-hoo.
What does that tell you?
It's so exciting. It's pronounced Allianz Insurance, and they're part of Fireman's Fund. I think all of you heard of Fireman's Fund, I'm assuming. So that's who they are. They're part of Fireman's Fund. They're A-rated. I think their financial rating is 15, which is the highest you can get, rated by AM Best. So all of our carriers are A-rated carriers. I mean, sure, tomorrow something can happen, like with Kemper and Reliance and all these other ones that just kind of overnight happened. But, you know, we try to stay with the highest rated carriers that we can.
Great. Good answer. Thank you. Any other questions on this one? Okay, I have a question on 6J. Debbie, how do cities determine the amount of their excess insurance that they carry, since there was such a wide variation among the cities that you gave us? What's the standard methodology for determining that?
Vice Mayor, I'm not sure there is a standard methodology. I think what they do is they take a look at first the risk that they are willing to bear and the amount that they have in their trust fund for self-insurance level. They also take a look at the loss history, both within the city itself, within the state, because that obviously gives some indication in terms of the likelihood of a jury verdict against the individual municipality. Nationally, you can take a look at the verdicts provided nationally, and we provided some loss history outside of Arizona. I think that is obviously a little less relevant. I think California juries typically award greater verdicts than here in Arizona, similar to New York or Florida. But it does provide some type of information for the council in terms of what's the likelihood of getting a very large verdict against the city of Mesa. In terms of their SIR, or self-insured retention level, I believe the risk along with the cost of the insurance, you can tell it's fairly significant for us to buy down to $1 million of self-insurance retention. We save some by going up to $3 million, but there's obviously a per-occurrence risk of an additional $1 million. So I think you have to take a look at all those factors and decide what risk do we want to incur. We've recommended a $2 million SIR and a $27 million excess limit. But council can certainly vary either one of those two.
I was very comfortable with your recommendation for the self-insured retention. I just wasn't sure about, because I saw those various numbers for different cities in terms of how much they were carrying as their excess. I wasn't sure, you know, what did they do? Look at all of their assets divided by a certain number, if there's some sort of formula, but there's no formula.
There's none that I'm aware of, Vice Mayor. I can tell you that Mesa used to have significantly higher limits. At one point, they were as high as, I think, $50, $55 million excess limit. That's when insurance was extremely inexpensive, probably 10 years ago, as 9/11 occurred and some of the other disasters have occurred, that significantly increased insurance rates. It's also made insurance carriers much less willing to cover at that high limits. And I think the broker would tell you there are limits now to what insurance carriers will provide in terms of the liability coverage.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Griswold.
As long as we still have our broker up here, I'm just curious, what is covered under the boiler machinery policy of air conditioners or?
Air conditioners, most importantly, like electrical arcing when you have a lightning storm, computers.
That's per occurrence, a $10,000 deductible.
Per
occurrence. So a 10-ton air conditioner runs you over $10,000.
Right.
A 5-ton, you would tend to eat the.
Right. Exactly.
But a large chilled water plant, you would have quite a bit of multi-million-dollar damage.
Yeah, but you're only covered, you know, $10,000.
And it also, Councilmember Griswold, correct me if I'm wrong, if, for example, the chilled water fails and that failure causes additional failure to other right. machinery in the city, that additional failure would also be covered under this policy.
Okay. Thank you. It's a good deal.
Thank you very much.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
Your coming up. Anything else on page 7? Moving on, page 8. We're now at introduction of ordinances and setting November 20th, 2006 as the date for the public hearing. Page 9, anything there? Page 10, still doing introductions. This was the meeting that went on forever and ever. Page 11. Page 12, still introductions. Page 13, we're still doing introductions. Page 14, Councilmember Whalen, 8A is off because you have a conflict. Councilmember Jones, you were going to determine about your situation.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Jones, you do not have a conflict, as we discussed. He has not historically declared a conflict, nor does he have any relatives that have property that will be assessed under this item.
Great. Then we'll just have that off for Councilmember Whalen. Anything else on that page? Okay. These are resolutions. We're on page 15. Page 16. We have a couple of new items, sale of some city property. Page 17. Item 9A is off the consent agenda. Page 18, item 9H, the legal protest has been removed. So if there's no objection from the council, we could add that to the consent agenda. Is that okay? Any problems with that? Okay, we're going to put that back on the consent agenda, Kim. Councilmember Griswold.
With your permission, I'd like to go back to page 16,
sure.
8N. I just wondered in the report, we tend to give these reports that sometimes get misquoted in the press, and I understand why. It's not as confusing. It says the price of the land was bought for X amount of dollars. I don't remember it right now. Was that the entire land or just this piece that we're selling off? Sometimes we give the entire piece what we bought it for, and it looks like we sell it for very little more than we buy it for. In this case, I just wondered, is this an 8N?
Vice Mayor Walters, Councilmember Griswold, that was the entire 18 acres that was the $500,000.
Can we stress that in reports from now on? If we're going to sell 1 acre and we're buying 8 acres, we gave the price of the land is, you know, and then we say we're selling it for and it looks like I'm not that much more, and you go, gee, make it clear so people and public and the press could understand that this is only 1/8 of what we originally bet and we're making more than the entire 8 acres.
Sure. Off. We can, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Well,
let's talk about that right now while you're up there, Doug, because it's on consent agenda. This land was purchased a number of years ago for about $500,000 for all of the acreage we're selling. What was the total number of acres purchased at that time?
The total number of acres was 18.47 acres purchased for $598,000, and we actually, instead of paying money, we traded water to them for that from RWCD.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that. And now we're selling 3.5 acres of it?
3.56 for a little bit over $1 million, $1,085,700.
And land was acquired to buffer the water plant that we share jointly with the City of Phoenix. Chris,
right.
Did you have a comment on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I was going to say all that item is in the backup, so I'm sure that those who report will be diligent enough to read the backup to make sure they get the right information. And the suggestion is that the 35,000 acre feet of water may be even more worth the appreciation of the land value, too. So we don't even know what that's worth. So it may have been a very even better deal for the city over the long term.
Sure.
Just the past, sometimes people read the first paragraph, so that could be sort of stressed out. The backup information, if you get back in there, it says.
It's in the second paragraph.
Yeah.
We hope they can read that far.
And since we're going back for a second on page 15, I just wanted to thank everybody who put the information together on 8H, which was the properties for the Gilbert Road and University Drive intersection improvements. That was good backup. Really appreciate it. Okay, anything else on pages 15, 16, 17, 18? And we added 9H back to the consent agenda. 19, more zoning cases. And 20. Okay, then let's move over to item number 2, which is to hear a report on meetings and or conferences attended. It's been a while since we've had a report on this. We got, I have a big long list. Anybody want to go? Okay, I'll go first. It has been a long time, I guess, since we did these. I went a week and a half ago to the League Resolutions Committee and the League Executive Committee. I'm going to encourage in future years that we do the prioritization at the League Resolutions Committee a little bit differently than it was done this last time. It's sort of mind-boggling to me that because of the process and the way the prioritization was done, that transportation across the state of Arizona did not end up in the top 5 things that we think are critical issues to be addressed. And I asked the League Executive Committee, is there anyone on this committee who does not think that transportation is one of the top priorities in the state of Arizona? And everyone agreed it was. But people didn't really, the way it wasn't a weighted system. There were some issues with it. So in future years, I think we're going to do that differently. And the Executive Committee totally agreed that transportation is very important. So I think we'll keep that in front of everybody. I went to the grand opening of the patient towers at Banner Baywood because the mayor was out of town. They had asked me to come and speak at both of their grand opening ceremonies. They had more than probably close to 3,000 people there. Also, the Storytelling Festival, which has become an annual event here in Mesa, thanks to Anita Farnsworth and the work that she did in bringing it here, and it was a fun event. I did a fire station. I did a fire ride along with Station 1, and I can tell you that Station 1 is incredibly busy. I think I didn't sit down for more than about 5 minutes. I went on every different unit as it went out, and sometimes we came back and another one was gone, so I missed some of the calls, but we have really great firefighters in this community. Went on a police ride-along with the Red Mountain District. Great police officers in this community, and very impressed by some of the citizens in our community who really just stand up and say, there's a problem here in my neighborhood, and they call the police, and they stand there and they wait to talk to the police officers about whatever it is. We need good people like that. Really particularly impressed with a grandmother who was telling her grandkids, now you need to tell the officer everything you saw. But that's a really great example. Went to a neighborhood meeting on Saturday, and it was over in the east between by Stapley and 3rd Street, and they had some very kind words for our graffiti removal. They were just really impressed, and I said, yeah, we have one person who's out there doing that, and they were very, very impressed with that. Also had kind words about code compliance. On Saturday night, it was the United Food Bank's Race to End Hunger, and Councilmember Griswold was there, and that's a consortium that works with the East Valley cities. We all work together on helping to assist with hungry people so that to deal with hunger issues in our community. And the food banks are divided by geographic regions. And then I had to drop into the Mesa Symphony concert to kick off their fundraiser. So I think that's a few of the things I've been doing in the last week. Come on, guys. Rex.
You missed one. We were both at the ASU Polytechnic 10th anniversary dinner. Oh. So, I get to see a lot of your husband, too, so that's good. At the SRP Browning substation meeting over in District 6, Councilmember Summers asked me to sort of check it out while he was in New Orleans saving lives or doing disaster relief. So something of those lines, but running major 500 kV power to our city, coming mainly through the state trust land to the east and not impacting our residents, but giving us the power we need. And also, I went to the showing of the new downtown sculptures, all done with private money downtown. Some great sculptures, a lot of animal-themed ones, and some great bronze ones. I think you'll enjoy seeing in the city, so come on down.
Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. Vice Mayor. Oh, where was I? I've been out of state for the past week. Thank you for the excuses. One, I was in Seattle attending the American Power Association, learning about power. I'm on the utility subcommittee, so it was very educational, very, very useful information I received on running public power systems. Interesting to hear how other public power systems operate and the amount of monies that are transferred from those organizations into the general fund. We take a lot of money from our power company into the general fund. It's alarming. I returned ever so briefly, had a pancake breakfast at Station 212. It was well received. I'd like to thank all of the city personnel who came out and handed out material on water conservation, public safety, the police fire department. Well, the fire department was definitely there. It was at their fire station. Some retired firefighters came out and cooked up pancakes, and I think I was the only one that didn't get them. But that'll teach me to show up a little bit early and have the pancakes first, as I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of folks in the district. From there, I left shortly thereafter. I was in New Orleans, Gulfport, Mississippi, and Biloxi, Mississippi, taking a look at the recovery efforts from the hurricane. Trust me, there's nobody left on their roof anymore. But the recovery efforts are going very, very slowly in that area. Even industry, some of their staple industries like the casinos in Biloxi are having a hard time doing the repairs. This is 14 months later. And if industries like that, which generate a lot of money, and bring a lot of revenue to the city, are having a hard time, you can imagine what the single-family residential homeowner is, the hard time that they're having. It's not moving very fast at all. I'm just glad we all live here in Mesa, where we're above sea level. So, and gave a report on that. But glad to be back in the city for a while.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Anybody else? Councilmember Jones.
I won't go down a whole long list, but Scott and I were with Dave Plum in Seattle, and we took the sunshine with us. We didn't get a drop of rain the whole time we were there.
That was fun.
But the sculptures in the streets encourage people to come downtown. They're different, a lot more animal-themed, and there'll be a lot to view. And stressing, as Rex likes to stress, that this is not a city-funded thing. It's privately funded, and it is a great opportunity to come down, bring your families downtown.
Any others? Okay, Chris, before we get to your scheduling and meetings and general information, I just want to, I'm sure everyone has read this, but on behalf of the city of Mesa, we want to express our condolences to Jeff Grosskost's family. He passed away this last week very unexpectedly, and it was a real shock. And Jeff represented us in the legislature for some period of time, and though Jeff and I were not always on the same side of issues, we had a very respectful relationship with each other. He was probably one of the finest political strategists that I have ever met in my life, and he had a true joy in being involved in political strategy, and we always had a cordial relationship with each other, and he was a real go-to guy for the United Way. When I was the chair of the board, Carol just sang his praises all the time. We appreciate the contributions that he made to our community, and our hearts go out to his family, and I just wanted to express that on behalf of all of us. Chris?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. This upcoming meetings, we will have a Thursday study session this Thursday at 7:30, and then we'll have one the following week on the 16th at 7:30. And a reminder of the council retreat on Friday, November 17th. It'll be in the Saguaro Room of the main library. I believe we're scheduled to start that one at 8:30 in the morning. If you haven't had a chance to visit with our facilitator, Bob Ashcroft, please let me know, and we'll try to make sure that connection is made. And we'll continue with our schedule in November. Our next council meeting will be Monday, November 20th. And then our only other study session after that will not will not be on Thanksgiving, but will be Thursday, November 30th. That's all I have. Thank you.
And, Chris, where will the retreat be?
The Saguaro Room of the Main Library.
Thank you.
8:30.
Okay, is there anything else? Pre-scheduled public opinion appearances. Do we have any speakers?
We have none, Vice Mayor.
All right, then we're adjourned until we start the regular meeting at 5:45.